Luke chapter 2. And some of you might be sitting there and saying, Joel, Christmas is over. Well, true, but this is after Christmas. What happens and what we're about to read is what happens immediately after Christmas. And spoiler alert, we're probably going to continue to be there next week unless the Lord moves me a different direction, because we haven't even talked about the wise men yet. And the wise men probably got there 2 years after Jesus was born, so having the wise men a few days after Christmas is no big deal. But certainly, this is a powerful passage of Scripture, and I want to look at it this morning. This is what takes place kind of immediately after Jesus' birth. You've got the angels that come and appear to the shepherds and announce that Jesus has been born. The shepherds go see Him, and they praise God, and they're glorifying God that the Savior has been born. And apparently nobody else gets involved with that, but it says Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. She thought about them deeply and kept them in her heart. But, you know, life goes on. You know, for us, it's Christmas time. You got the manger scene. And then for a lot of folks, man, December 26th rolls around, and they're all done with it. But you know what? For Mary and Joseph, December 26th rolled around, and Jesus was one day old. And they were just getting started. He had to be fed. He had to be changed. He was a baby. And everything that goes along with a newborn baby, they were busy, young parents. And they have obligations under the Old Testament law. And that's how this starts. So it's picking up in verse 21 of Luke chapter 2. It says, when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, this is where we left last week, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And now, for the first time, in 4,000 years of earth history, the Savior, the Messiah, has a name. He's not just the promised one who is coming. He's not the one that you look forward to and you wonder who is he going to be. He has a name. His name is Jesus. And he's right there. And so they name him Jesus as they were instructed to do. And in verse 22 it says, now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. So every baby that is born in Jewish culture under the Old Testament law is going to be presented to the Lord, is going to be dedicated to God. And it is not an automatic salvation sort of thing. A lot of people would get that confused even today with trying to christen babies and think that somehow you can be saved as an infant, and that's not how it works. And that's not how it worked here either. You were never saved simply by being born to a Jewish family. It was always by faith in the God of the Word. But this was an acknowledgement that this child belongs to God, like Jeremy was saying earlier. This was an acknowledgement that, hey, you know what? This baby that you have given us, he's yours. You own him. He belongs to you. And we dedicate his life to you. And we still do that. You know, we still do that. That's carried over, the dedication of babies. We did that last week with John's granddaughter. And it's a good thing. It's a good thing to acknowledge that, you know what, God's the one who's in control, and to ask God to bless this life and to use it for His glory. So they come, and they bring Him to Jerusalem to present Him to the Lord. Think about that for a second. They bring the baby Jesus to Jerusalem. And when Mary and Joseph cross the threshold of the gates of Jerusalem and enter into Jerusalem, the king enters his city. The Son of David, who's supposed to rule from that city, the Son of God, who designated that city, He just arrived in the arms of his mommy. That is a powerful moment in world history. And it says, they came to present him to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And this gives us some insight into who Joseph and Mary were as people. Because in Leviticus, if you go read in Leviticus, this is one reason reading through the Bible is so neat. If you go read in Leviticus, when a baby is born, male or female, it's a boy or a girl, you are supposed to take, the parents are supposed to take a lamb and offer it as a burnt offering to God for the child. And then you're supposed to take a turtle dove and a pigeon and offer them as a sin offering for the child. But it says, if you cannot bring a lamb, then you can bring a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So if you can't, in other words, if you can't afford a lamb, then you can bring another bird as that other sacrifice. God just being real practical in his law and realizing that people aren't made of money. And that there's going to be a lot of folks that have babies and they're not going to be able to afford a lamb for that sacrifice. And so in that case, you can bring that extra bird and offer that. And what did Joseph and Mary bring? They brought a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. They did not bring a lamb. They brought the lamb. But the parents of the lamb could not afford a lamb. God picked people who were not financially well off to raise his son. How come? How come? Well, if you look back in Isaiah, in a very, very familiar passage that we often quote, in the prophecy about the virgin birth in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then in chapter 5, or in verse 15 of chapter 7, says this, curds and honey he shall eat. Which, by the way, if you're not familiar with curds and honey, that means you are poor. If curds and honey is what you're eating, then you're making curds out of goat's milk and honey that you're probably finding from wild bees. And if that's what you're living on, you are poor. It says, curds and honey he shall eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. In other words, Almighty God did not want his son spoiled. God deemed it best that Jesus grow up in a poor family so that he would understand the important things about life. So that he would understand how to refuse evil and how to choose good. Because so often, if children have everything handed to them on a platter, we cripple them. Because then they don't have any concept of how life actually works. And when they get out in the real world, they crash and burn. But Jesus was going to have to deal with the realities of life from a very early age. And God wanted it that way. And I think gives us insight into how He wants us to raise children even now. You know, the temptation, of course, is if we grow up hard and then we do well financially, the temptation, of course, is just give the kids everything. But in reality, that's the worst thing we can do. It's better for us to teach them responsibility and to teach them to refuse the evil and to choose the good. Because nobody at a young level of maturity is ready to handle having everything handed to them. Apparently, not even the Son of God. Perfect and holy though He was. Because He didn't just come to pay the price for us, He also came to be our example for how life is supposed to work. And so, Joseph and Mary didn't have much money. They brought two turtle doves or two young pigeons for the Lamb of God. Verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon." And just tracking with what names mean, because we've been doing that all month. Simeon's name, it means heard, hearing. And I think that's significant once we kind of look at who Simeon is. "This man Simeon was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." This was a guy who walked with God. It says he was just and he was devout. Just, in other words, he was righteous before God. And the reason he was righteous before God, because he was devout. That word devout, it's the idea of walking carefully, being careful where you put your foot, paying attention to your relationship with God and your relationship with other people and how you interact and what things look like on a daily basis. Simeon was somebody who didn't just kind of let life lap up around him and whatever he encountered, he just kind of rolled with it. He was being careful about how he walked with God on a daily basis. Because a relationship with God is not a one-time event. It is a day-to-day walk. He was just and he was devout. And because of these things, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation or the peace of Israel. The comfort of Israel. We've talked about that. There were a lot of people in this time who were waiting for the comfort of Israel, the Messiah, to show up. He was waiting. And the word waiting means he was waiting with expectancy, with confidence. He wasn't sitting around saying, "Boy, I hope that that Messiah guy shows up one day." He was like, "He's coming. I'm looking. Where is he? Is he here today? Where is he? Maybe he's coming tomorrow." He was confident. He was expecting God to move. And he was confident that God would move because God had promised that He would. And the more of God's Word that we intake, the more expectancy and the more confidence we will have that God is going to keep His Word, that God is going to do great things, that He is going to show up. He was waiting, and it says, "And the Holy Spirit was upon Him." Upon Him. Not in Him, but upon Him. Couldn't dwell permanently within Simeon yet because the Lamb had not been offered to open that door. But the Holy Spirit was upon him. And Simeon knew God. And it says, "It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." Simeon knew. The Holy Spirit had told him, "Simeon, you are not going to depart from this earth until you see the Messiah with your own eyes." Now, I think you could read this whole book over and over and over and over and over again, and you won't find a verse that says, "Simeon, in the first century, you are going to live until you see the Messiah." Not in there. It's not in there. The Holy Spirit had revealed it to him. In other words, he was having conversations with the Holy Spirit. And this is important for us to realize. Yes, God's Word, He speaks to us every time we open it. And it is sure, and it is true, and it is solid, and it is unchangeable. It is the rock on which everything rests. But it's not the only way that God speaks to us. He will speak to us with His Spirit. And He'll tell us something. Hey, Scotty, go this way today. Hey, Bruce, go talk to that guy. He'll tell us things. The thing is, the voice of the Holy Spirit will never, ever contradict the Word of God. That's the important part to remember. Somebody comes to you and says, well, I think God has told me this and is clearly in contradiction of the Word of God. Well, I'm sorry, He didn't. In fact, not only did He not tell you, I can tell you who did tell you. Satan, or one of his lackeys, told you. Because the Spirit of God always agrees with the Word of God. And if we will keep those two things straight, that is where there's power in the church. Because some folks will get over into, you know what, I've got the Word, and I've got the Word, and this is what I've got, and I don't want to mess with that spirit stuff because that gets spooky. And you know what? There's no power there. Because He gives us His Spirit. And we need His Spirit. On the other hand, there's folks that want to live by the Spirit all the time. And they don't have enough Word to live by the Spirit. Because the Spirit will pull the Word out of our hearts when we need it. But if we don't know the Word, He doesn't have it to use. And so if you try to live by the Spirit and you're not in the Word consistently, you're gonna go crazy. You're going to go off somewhere else because you're going to hear voices and you think it's God and it's not. And a lot of people get in a lot of trouble doing that. We need both, Word and the Spirit. So, it says in verse 27 that Simeon, he came by the Spirit into the temple. I love this. The temple. Remember the temple that Solomon built in the Old Testament? Said, oh God, come and dwell here. And God came and His presence was so strong that they couldn't even play their instruments. Pat, wouldn't that be awesome? God's presence was so strong that we couldn't do anything. That'd be awesome. That's what happened in the Old Testament when they built the temple. The glory of God filled the temple. Now, that temple got torn down because they didn't walk with God. But another one had been built, and now you've got the temple, which is the same idea. It's where God's presence is supposed to be. And Joseph and Mary have brought Yahweh into the temple. Nobody knows it except them and Simeon. Simeon comes by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. See, Simeon knew God. Simeon walked with God. Simeon got the idea. This is not just about the physical descendants of Abraham. Your salvation, which you have prepared for the face of all peoples. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. That's us. That is us, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, because before Jesus came, we were lost. We were without hope and without God in the world, it said in Ephesians. But Jesus, the light of the world, has torn down that wall of separation and made the two one. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and lest people accuse me of not understanding about Israel, the glory of your people, Israel. God kept His word to Abraham, kept His word to David. Jesus has come, and always and forever, Jesus will be the glory of Israel. Always, always. You got problem with Jews, you got problems with Jesus. Because Jesus is a Jew. And He is the embodiment of all the promises to the Jewish people, some of which have not yet been fulfilled. And they will be. But He is the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. That's interesting. I mean, okay. They both had angelic visits saying this is who this baby's going to be. And the shepherds had a massive angelic visit announcing his birth. But this is now several weeks later. Haven't seen any angels for a few weeks. And in those few weeks, you know what Joseph and Mary have been doing? He needs milk. He needs diapers. He needs sleep. He's crying. This is the Son of God. He got to sleep. We can't mess this up. Can you imagine that? But I think probably somewhere in those few weeks, with all of the newborn baby, got to take care of him every moment of every day, I think they probably, and it's amazing, but I think it happened, they had kind of lost a little bit of Son of God and thinking, our baby boy. In that brief little window of time, they had gotten familiar with Jesus to the point that when Simeon said these things, it blew their mind. Don't we do that? We know He's God. We know He's the Savior of the world. We know He's Lord of all. We know He loves us. And we know His presence is with us, in us. But do we not get so caught up in what's going on, just day-to-day life, that sometimes we just kind of forget who He is? He's here. He's with us. We talk to Him every day. We read His Word every day. But we kind of forget who He really is. And some of the wonder goes out the door until somebody comes along and reminds us who He is, who lives in us, and who is with us always. And Joseph and Mary needed to be reminded. And we need to be reminded. We need to remind each other. That yes, He is our Father. He is our friend. He is the one who loves us more than we could possibly imagine. But hey, brother, sister, He's God. Don't forget that. Verse 34, then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. A sword will pierce through your own soul also. Think about Mary. Think about what she went through as Jesus grew, began His ministry, went to the cross. What must Mary have been thinking in that moment? The angel told me that He would have the throne of His father David and of His kingdom there would be no end. And I'm watching my son bleed out. Why? She didn't get it in the moment. She didn't understand why in the moment, but she would. She would. So if you're going through something right now and you don't get it, and you're sitting there saying, God, why? Hang on. Trust Him. You will understand why. There will be a time where you look back and say, I get it. I get it. I see what you were doing. And maybe it won't be, it might be eternity. But you know what? That's just not that far away for any of us. So hang on. Trust Him. It will be all right. I promise you. Destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, that a sign that will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Think about it. The people who were in power in Israel, they didn't stay in power when Jesus came on the scene and afterwards. Whole world got flipped upside down. And the lowest of the low, fishermen and tax collectors, prostitutes, He redeemed and turned into, and murderers, and turned into ambassadors for His kingdom. The falling and the rising of many in Israel, and a sign that will be spoken against, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. See, you can talk about God all that you want in today's society. If you keep it general about God, people will like you. You can get onto any talk show you want. You can be involved with any group of people that you want. And you can talk about God and spirituality as much as you want to. But when you start talking about Jesus, you start using the name of Jesus and saying He is the way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through Him. He is Savior and He is Lord. You know what happens then? Well, then people line up real quick, this side or that. Yes, I believe that, or no, I do not. That's what happened when He walked the earth. It's what happens now. That's good. That's what's supposed to happen. And it will continue to happen until He returns. Until everybody who's going to come into the family of God from every nation, tribe, and tongue comes in. And when they come in, it will then be real obvious who believes in Jesus and who does not. And that's when He returns. And He lines the sheep up on one side and the goats up on the other. He always, always, the name of Jesus, Jesus as Lord and Savior, not just as a good man, not just as someone who taught us how to suffer well or taught us good things, but as God and as Lord and Savior. That is always going to draw a line, and people are going to come down one way or the other. So don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of that. That started right here. And that's how it's supposed to work. Verse 36, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, and this woman was a widow of about 84 years. Now, there's different ways to read this. Some people think that means she was 84 years old. Some people think that means she had been a widow for 84 years. Okay. If we go with she had been a widow for 84 years, says she had been married for 7 years, and let's say that she got married at age 13, which would not be too far-fetched, really, in Jewish culture at that time. But I'm picking a really young age. 13, 7 years married, 20, widow of about 84 years, she's over 100. And then, and the later she waited to get married, the further up that age goes. This lady's been around. And it says, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. Now, I just want to say something as an encouragement to those of you who are in the fourth quarter, so to speak. All right? Things don't work as well as they used to. Takes a little bit longer to get going in the mornings, and then after that you don't go as long. And maybe by about lunchtime you're ready to just, you know, not go for the rest of the day. All right? That's some of us. That's some of us in the room. All right? It's just not like it used to be. You got to pace it a little bit more. Got to slow it down a little bit. Man, that's life. I hear that back there. I want to. Ooh, you set yourself up for that one, right? Oh. He did. He started it. I want to encourage those of you that's where you're at. You're not done. You are not done. Maybe you can't get to every single meeting. Maybe you can't pound the pavement like you used to. Maybe there's a lot of things that you can't do now that you could have done 10 years ago, 20 years ago, whatever. But let me tell you what you can do. It says that Anna served God, didn't depart from the temple, with fastings and prayers night and day. Let me tell you something. Me and Shane and Jeremy and Sheridan and Cheyenne and Raquel and April and others of us, we're not going to get anything accomplished of any value unless you all are spending time in the temple night and day with fastings and prayers. Because God moves when His people pray. And you can do more in the spiritual realm now. Because you've got the time, some of you. You've got the time. When some of us don't. Right, Shane? But you've got the time. And you can spend that time in prayer. And it says she didn't depart from the temple. Well, guess what? That doesn't mean you've got to live in this church building. Because we've said it before. The temple of God is sitting in these seats right now. This is not the temple. This is the temple. So you're already in the temple. You are the temple. So go for the fastings and prayers night and day. Let God use you. Let Him teach you to pray. Be that prayer warrior. And dear God, only eternity is going to show us the power of those prayers. That's what Anna did. And it says in verse 38, and coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord. This is neat. It says Simeon came into the temple by the Spirit. Spirit told him, Simeon, go to the temple. You've got somebody you need to meet. It doesn't say that with Anna. It just says she came in at that instant. In other words, she was going about her business. But she knew God. She was walking with God. She was probably asked Him to direct her steps that day. And so she came in at that instant. Doesn't say the Spirit told her to. Because, see, when we are walking with God, He weaves things around to where we are in the spot we're supposed to be in the moment that we're supposed to be there. And so she just came in. Watch for those things and don't let them pass you by. When you come in, be aware that, oh, God just put me right here. This is important. And don't run away from those things. coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of Him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Because there were a lot of people in Jerusalem who were looking for redemption. And maybe they were looking for redemption in the city of Jerusalem itself. That's easy to do. Get caught up with, hey, if I go to the temple, if I go to Jerusalem, something amazing is going to happen because I'm in Jerusalem and I'm at the temple. But who they really needed was the God of the temple and the King of Jerusalem. And Anna found out His name is Jesus. And so she went and told everyone about Him. And as we close 2018 and move into 2019, I cannot think of a better goal for us as a church body but to speak of Him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. Because people are looking. People are looking. Are we speaking? Are we being faithful to open our mouths and tell people about Jesus? You know, there's a phrase that's very popular that St. Francis of Assisi, I think, is credited with. It says, preach the gospel to all men, and if necessary, use words. Well, that's nice. Newsflash, words are necessary. Yes, we should live our faith. And don't get me wrong, I like the quote. Okay, I like the quote, but it's incomplete by itself because we have got to open our mouths and tell people about Jesus, or otherwise they will not hear. How shall they hear unless there is a preacher? And I'm not the preacher. We all are the preacher. It's all of us. That's what we're supposed to do. He should be so overflowing in our hearts, and man, we just want to tell people about it. So I pray that in 2019, that's who we are as a church. Those who are telling everybody who's looking for redemption about the one who is redemption, about Jesus. So it says in verse 39, when they have performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Because he had a support system around him that helped him grow. We all need that. If Jesus needed it, let me tell you, Joel Pinson desperately needs it. And we all need it. We all need each other in order to grow into what God has for us to be as His people. So this morning, I just want to encourage us and challenge us as a church to be like Simeon. Know the Word enough to know the voice of the Spirit when He speaks. Let's not get so familiar with Jesus that we forget He's God, like seemingly Joseph and Mary did in that moment. And let's be like Anna and tell everybody who's looking for redemption that we know His name. And His name is Jesus. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you're faced right now with that choice that Simeon said told Mary was going to come. That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed, the falling and rising of many in Israel. What will you do with Jesus? Another year is in the books. 2018 is practically over. Another year of your life has come and gone. And a new one's getting ready to start if you get another breath. What will you do with Jesus? Do you believe? And I implore you, open your heart to Jesus. Because whether you believe or not, He is the Savior. He is the Lord. He does love you. And oh, how much better to come to Him in surrender and experience the joy of being His child, as opposed to one day standing before Him as judge with no hope of repentance. He loves you. God Himself came as that little baby and poured out His blood that we remembered this morning when we took communion, so that your sins would be forgiven and you could come into a relationship with Almighty God as His child. Won't you trust Him today? Won't you repent and turn to Him today? He is right here. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to stand after that and worship. And as we stand, if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, listen, today is the day of salvation. You can know Him today, right now, before we walk out of these doors. If you do know Him, but you know there's something that's not really right there, good time to make it right. If you need to make a public profession and say, you know what, I do know Jesus, I've been saved, but I need to tell everybody that, yes, that's me. I am with Jesus. I have come to know Jesus, because Jesus said if we're ashamed of Him before men, He'll be ashamed of us before the Father in heaven. So if you need to make that public profession, if you're looking for a church, well, we'd love to think your search is over. We would love to have you as a part of New Hope Church. If you need to follow through with baptism, you've never publicly followed through with baptism, you've been saved, this is a good time to talk about that. He's right here. Whatever we've got that we need to do with God in this last Sunday of 2018, let's do it. Let's not go out of these doors till we are all where we need to be with Him this morning and with each other. So, Father, we thank You. We thank You for sending the Lamb of God. We thank You for sending Jesus. We thank You that He is our redemption. We don't have to look any further. We don't have to wait any longer. He already came. He already spilled His blood. The door is wide open to You. Thank You. Father, I just pray that as we sang earlier, this would be a year of moving forward as individuals, as a church, into all that You have for us. That there wouldn't be any more excuses for not going all in with You. Draw the lost to Yourself right now, I pray. Let them know Your love for them. And let them respond this morning. And encourage us, Your people, to tell everybody about You, who is our redemption. In Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand and worship. If you've got business to do with God, come on up. This is the time.